certainly is a pleasure to be here this evening. You know, it's kind of weird when Randy asks you to take a few minutes because he's never had a problem filling his minutes. So, but if you can turn with me to Matthew 16, I'd just like to look at a few verses tonight before Randy comes up. I don't think there's any connection between the thoughts that the Lord has given me and what Randy would have, except that they would be focused on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16, I'm sure you're very familiar with this passage as we begin in verse 13. Matthew 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So here, of course, we have the testimony of Peter speaking on behalf of the disciples. All the disciples were asked the question, "Whom do ye say that I am?" And Peter spoke up and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And we can praise God because it says, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, Simon, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you." And there is, of course, the prophets of the Old Testament that would reveal of the coming of the Savior. And oftentimes it's those things that man can get carried away with. We can get carried away in thinking about some of the great men of God, the great men and women of God who have served God faithfully, but yet our focus should never be on them. They should be on the Christ, the Son of the living God, the only one worthy of any adoration. And of course, Simon Peter, and James and John got a little bit of a taste of this lesson in chapter 17. If we can just read the first few verses. In chapter 17, they learned very experientially that the Christ, the Son of the living God, was the one to focus on. Beginning in verse 1, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias." So even Peter, after proclaiming that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, got a little bit sidetracked here when he saw the images of Moses and Elias standing with the Lord. And he put them on the same plane, or the Lord Jesus on the same plane as these men. And we praise the Lord for God, how God had used these men in the Old Testament, how God had used Moses as the one to bring them out of Egypt, out of the bondage. But it was God who saved. Even when the people grumbled against Moses for bringing them out, he said, "It is the Lord who will fight for you." So even Peter would get sidetracked, as we do in our day and age, even today. We get sidetracked and we might look at some great men or great women and the things that they're doing, but our focus should never be on them. It should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. And while Peter was saying this, in verse 5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And that's where we need to be. We need to take our eyes off of anything else that would distract us from the only worthy one, the Lamb who was slain, the one who died for us, as Galatians 2:20 will say. What it says, he who loved me and gave himself for me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh, by faith of the Son of the God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I know I struggled with that, excuse me. But we see the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what they saw. So Peter, James, and John learned the message. If he is the Christ, the Son of God, our focus should be upon him. And when we hear God speak to us as they did, and we look up and feel even the touching hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to look up and see no man save Jesus only. Now some of the disciples weren't up on the mount, but they learned the lesson in a different way. If we go down to verse 14, and we see in the example here with Moses and Elias and building the three tabernacles, it speaks to me of the prophets of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, completely fulfilled in Christ. And Moses and Elijah had a lot to do with that, but they weren't the Christ. And now we're going to see even the disciples had learned this lesson in verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, speaking of the Lord and Peter and James and John, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And it's entirely possible that the disciples, when they were faced with this opportunity to cure the man of the devil, that they were trying this in their own power. And the Lord rebuked them. He said, it's your unbelief. The unbelief that the power comes from God. God is the one that can cast them out. And at the end when he talks, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Complete and utter reliance on God, on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So even here, as the disciples were matched with an opportunity to do a great work for God, God was teaching them a lesson. You can never do this work but by me. So the encouragement this evening is that we would see no man save Jesus only. The men of the Old Testament, as great as they were not the Christ. The men of the New Testament, the men and women here tonight, none of us are worth anything, only the Lord Jesus Christ.